Hi, it's Dacker. If you're like me, you probably have a wide variety of interests when it comes to your podcast listening. A little psychology here, a little history there, which is why I want to recommend a show perfect for those with eclectic tastes. Freakonomics Radio has more than 10 years and 500 episodes worth of answers to your biggest questions. But don't be fooled, it's not just for economists and business experts. Every week, Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of everything. With the help of guests, including CEOs, artists, and Nobel laureates, he breaks down all sorts of things, like how we choose the people we marry and why using swear words might be more important than you think. So don't miss out. Follow Freakonomics Radio right now, wherever you get your podcasts. The Science of Happiness is proudly brought to you by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Discover the latest findings in neuroscience, cosmology, and the origins of life at templeton.org.
I was at an orphanage in Seoul, Korea, and was adopted by an African-American family that was in the army. And shortly after, maybe a year or so, we ended up moving back to America. At seven, my parents got a divorce. And so my mother, my brother, and myself moved back to their hometown of Jackson, Mississippi, and that's pretty much where I grew up. Before I moved to Jackson, I didn't really think anything about my situation. And so when I went to school was when I realized that I was different, because a majority of the people, as far as population there, are mostly either black or white. And so growing up, I only knew like two other Asian people that live there. And so going to school, you've got these kids picking on you, and they're picking on you because of how you look and, you know, your external appearance, things that you can't control. And so, you know, shortly after is like, that's where I kind of started developing identity issues and really trying to figure out who I was as a person. It's really made me question certain things about myself as far as having to prove myself. I'm so driven and I'm so motivated, but is that because I feel like I have something to prove because I'm an adoptee, or do I feel the need to really do really well because I'm Asian? So when I think about that, I think I'm a woman that pursues my purpose passionately. I know that I love growth, and that includes embracing the good and the bad that I've experienced. I'm motivated by making an impact and always thinking about how I can help others. And although my story is unique, many others can relate to people often putting you in a box and wanting you to be more so one-dimensional based on your skin color. But what I've realized as humans and as individual people, that we're more than that.
Cindy Wilson shares her journey of being a transracial adoptee in America in her new memoir, Too Much Soul: The Journey of an Asian Southern Belle. Today, Cindy joins us as our happiness guinea pig, trying out a science-backed practice to foster resilience, kindness, connection, and happiness. Cindy, thanks so much for joining us on The Science of Happiness.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be on today.
I have to say, I think you're the first Asian Southern Belle I've ever spoken with.
Yay! That makes me happy.
One of the things that developmental psychologists are really interested in, and you've got it going on in full bloom, which is, how does a young 7 or 8-year-old make sense of having an ethnic identity and a regional identity? How do you make sense of it all?
It just plays into the nature versus nurture. I was heavily influenced by the people that accepted me. At different points in my life, I would hang out with white people, or I would hang out with my Asian friends, or I would hang out with my black friends. So I was exposed to a lot of different cultures, you know, just really figuring out, like, what was it that I connected to? Like, for example, I had never met anyone that was fully Korean. But then since I wrote my book, I've met other Korean adoptees,
wow,
which I never met before. So I would say that's another cool thing, too, because I didn't even realize that the Korean adoptee population was the largest international adoption population.
Is that right?
And yes. Huh. And I did not know that. Even outside of that, like, other people that are embracing my story that are of like all races and nationalities has been amazing, because, you know, people see the need of bringing people together instead of people feeling so divided.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Cindy is our happiness guinea pig. You chose a practice that really highlights your best character traits. It's called the User Strengths Practice. What is the User Strengths exercise? Walk us through it.
Okay. So for using your strengths, you want to do it at least every day for a week. And the time required each day is going to vary depending on how you choose to exercise your strength. You take a moment to think about one of your personal strengths. For instance, creativity, perseverance. For myself, I chose encouragement. And consider how you use this strength today in a new and different way. And for me, that was more so mindfulness, being more mindful. And then describe in writing the personal strength you plan to use today and how you are going to use it. Then go ahead and do it, and as frequently as possible throughout the day. Repeat the steps every day for a week, and you can use the same personal strength each day or try new ones. And then at the end of the week, write about your personal strength that you focused on and how you used them, and then write in detail about what you did, how you felt, and what you learned from the experience.
Pretty intensive.
Yeah, it was.
Why did you choose the Use Your Strength practice?
So I chose that exercise because lately in my journey of learning more about other Korean adoptees, it's made me question what a lot of adoptees and also Asians kind of question about themselves. And that's always feeling that we have to prove ourselves to show that we're good enough.
So what strength did you decide to focus on?
The strength that I chose for myself personally was my ability to encourage others because I feel like I'm always doing that. So I already know that I get really invested in people and I want to see them win and be empowered to be their best selves. But I wanted to be more intentional with how I was doing it and being more mindful.
And what are some ways you encouraged others during the week?
One of my friends, she was selected on the board of a nonprofit. And, you know, of course, I congratulated her and let her know she was going to be great and they were going to be lucky to have her on their board. I had a friend that was applying for a job and gave him advice on how to leverage his strengths based on what they were looking for and how I knew he would be the perfect candidate. And then, you know, just with writing a book, I've had people since I was doing this exercise that have reached out to me to ask me for advice. So I walked them through my process, asked them about their project, and really encouraged them that when you put your passion and your purpose out there, it's like, the things that are supposed to come and happen from that will happen. But I would probably say my favorite one was I had a young lady that sent me an email and she was explaining how my book really connected with her because she's Black, but a majority of her friends are white.
Right.
And so she's often told she, you know, air quotes, acts white. But then she was also introduced to K-pop. She was like, I just like, oh my gosh, I love it. And... But she was like, but then sometimes I feel a sense of guilt. And so I told her, I was like, you know what? Honestly, I see nothing wrong with liking what you like. And I think it's okay. As long as you're not denying who you are racially or culturally, then I don't see a problem with it.
Did it reassure her?
It did. That really made her feel better. And, you know, it's like, I think that's what people that with encouragement, they're just kind of looking for that validation or that confirmation that it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, for them to be who they are and to like what they like.
Even K-pop.
Even K-pop.
One of the really interesting things in the science on this kind of topic is that when we give to others and when we encourage others, or to use your word, empower other people, you know, feel joy and there's this contagious reaction. How did you find your experience of pursuing the strength over the course of the week?
I learned that when you're intentional with adding some type of value to someone else's life, it can form a stronger connection with that person. And then you're also acknowledging that you hear all of the great things that they're doing and that you're supporting them and wanting them to do well, that they're going in the right direction and that it's okay.
Yeah.
My aha moment was, you know, how I spoke about I'm driven and I really push myself, but it made me realize I do that because I want to be my best self also. Encouraging others is my strength, but it's like I also encourage myself.
Good.
It made me feel like, well, maybe it's just more so a natural quality that I have that I apply to myself as well as others. And so instead of being like, well, maybe I'm driven because, you know, of this, like, you know, I need to go to therapy and figure this out. And but it's like, I'm just naturally an encourager. And even with myself, you know, to push myself to be the best self that I can be.
It's one of the things that I really like about these practices is it gives you a little bit of opportunity to reflect on your tendencies. And sometimes we pathologize them, but in fact, they are healthy and part of who we are. So glad that had that effect on you.
I know. I was like, yeah. So now I can prolong my therapy session for another couple of weeks.
Were there challenges that you found, Cindy, in doing this? Were there obstacles, or did grumpy people respond with inappropriate responses like, stop encouraging me?
I would say probably the only challenge was like being very intentional and listening to what they're saying and finding a way to encourage them and making that connection with them.
Yeah, well put. Takes a little work to really zero in on the things that people need to be encouraged on.
You could easily bypass something somebody said and be like, okay, well, let's talk about something else. And then you're like, no, stop right there. And they just said this, so you need to encourage them in this way.
Cindy, do you think you're going to do this practice again and encourage the people around you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's very important to encourage others because you're paying attention to what they're saying and what they're going through, and that either it's going to be okay or they're going to do great.
Yeah.
Some people need it, some people don't, but even if they don't, it just helps to form that connection even stronger.
Cindy, I wanted to thank you for being on The Science of Happiness and wish you the best with your book, Too Much Soul. I hope it keeps the conversation going about cultural acceptance and the things that you've talked about. Thanks so much.
Yes, that's my hope. And I even have discussion questions at the end of my book. So yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Support for The Science of Happiness comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you can get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it, Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/happiness. That's odoo.com/happiness. Cindy Wilson focused on her ability to encourage others, and in so doing, found herself taking delight in other people and feeling connected and happier. A lot of us tend to dwell on our weaknesses, but a lot of different studies suggest that when we shine a light on our strengths, we actually derive a lot of benefits. In one study, people first had to list their strengths and then rank them from their biggest strengths to the ones that they could use a little bit of work on. And then what they did is they used their top-ranked strengths in a new way for 1 week. Participants reported feeling happier and actually showed fewer symptoms of depression even 6 months after doing this practice. What about those skills toward the bottom of our personal list of strengths? The ones we're not so great at, that we feel uncomfortable doing? Should we focus on those too? That's the question that Fabian Gander, a psychologist at the University of Zurich, set out to answer. His study compared signature strengths, character strengths that we think are most essential to who we are and that vary from person to person, to lesser strengths, the ones that we're not as good at.
We randomly assigned people to a condition that asked them to use their 5 signature strengths or the 5 lesser strengths in a new way for 1 week. And we assessed well-being and depressive symptoms at different time points, so before the intervention, after the intervention, as well as after 1 month, 3 months, and 6 months. And the results were so far positive that the interventions were able to increase well-being and decrease depressive symptoms for up to 3 months. And surprisingly, there were no differences at all between the two conditions, signature strength or on the lesser strength. The basic question is whether improving your strength in general improves your happiness. And based on the results of this study, we would say yes. Using your signature strengths in a new way can be a helpful way for people to grow, to develop their character, maybe also to get happier. But it's also completely fine if you're preferring to work on your lesser strengths. We try not to say weaknesses because these are still positive traits. If people apply their strengths on a daily basis, it gets to habit and the strength itself might increase as well, which can in turn also lead to other positive outcomes.
If you'd like to try the Use Your Strengths exercise or other happiness practices, visit our Greater Good in Action website at ggia.berkeley.edu. Then email us at greater@berkeley.edu and tell us how it went. I'm Dacher Keltner. Thanks for joining me on The Science of Happiness. Our podcast is a co-production of UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center and PRI PRX, with production assistance from Jenny Cataldo and Ben Manila of BMP Audio. Our producer is Shuka Kalantari. Our associate producer is Lee Mengistu. Our executive producer is Jane Park. Our editor-in-chief is Jason Marsh. Special thanks goes to UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism. Join us for a live recording of an episode of The Science of Happiness and hear from Jack Kornfield and me and lots of other speakers at our first ever 3-day Science of Happiness event held in Northern California near Santa Cruz. Learn more at ggsc.berkeley.edu.